Section 10. The misery of unbelievers. Unbelievers have no portion in this matter. There is a most glorious way of salvation, but you, who are unbelievers, have no interest in it. The wisdom of God hath been gloriously employed for the deliverance of men from a miserable, doleful state. But you are never the better for it, because you reject it. If you continue in that state, this wisdom will do you no good. Christ is a glorious person. Every way fit to be a savior of sinners. A person who has power sufficient, wisdom sufficient, merit sufficient, and love sufficient for perfecting this work. And he is the only fit person. But you have no right in him. You can lay claim to no benefit by his power, wisdom, love, or merits. This wisdom of God hath found out a way whereby the Savior might satisfy justice, and fulfill the law for us. A way whereby he might be capable or suffering for us, but you have no lot in the incarnation, death, and sufferings of Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God hath contrived a way of salvation that there should be procured for us perfect and everlasting happiness. Here is that happiness procured which is most suitable to our nature, and answerable to the salvation of our souls. Here is a most glorious portion, namely the divine being himself, with his glorious perfections. Here it is purchased, that we should see God face to face. That we should converse and dwell with God in his own glorious habitation. That we should be the children of God, and be conformed to him. Here are the highest honors, the most abundant riches, the most substantial satisfying pleasures forevermore. Here we have prepared all needed good, both for the souls and bodies of sinners all needed earthly good things, while here. And glory, for both body and soul hereafter, forever. But you are never the better for all this. You have no lot nor portion in any of it. Notwithstanding all this rich provision, you remain in the same miserable state and condition in which you came into the world. Though the provision of the gospel be so full, yet your poor soul remains in a famishing, perishing state. You remain dead in trespasses and sins, under the dominion of Satan, in a condemned state, having the wrath of God abiding on you, and being daily exposed to the dreadful effects of it in hell. Notwithstanding all this provision, you remain wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. Oh, that you might turn to God through Jesus Christ, be numbered among his disciples and faithful followers, and so be entitled to their privileges. They have an interest in this glorious Savior, and are entitled to all the ineffable blessedness of his kingdom, so far as their capacities will admit, but you remain without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no well-grounded hope, and without God in the world. Further consider a few things. First, it argues the great misery of sinners, that the wisdom of God should be exercised to such a degree in order to find out a way to deliver them from it. Their case surely was most deplorable, since it required infinite wisdom to find out a way for their deliverance. The wisdom of angels was not sufficient, nothing but divine wisdom could reach and remedy their case. And all the persons of the Trinity did enter into a consultation about it. If man's misery were not very great, divine wisdom would not have been exercised for his deliverance from it. God would not contrive and do things so wonderful in a trivial affair. If the salvation of a sinner were not a great salvation, from an exceeding great misery, it is not to be supposed that God's wisdom should be more signalized in this affair than in any other whatever. But so it is. This contrivance seems to be spoken of in Scripture as the masterpiece of divine wisdom. This work of redemption is represented as most wonderful, and spoken of in Scripture in the most exalted manner of any work of God. Doubtless therefore salvation is a great thing. And consequently the misery that sinners are saved from, is a great and unspeakable misery. Now this is the misery that you are all in, who remain in a natural condition. This is the condemnation you lie under. This is the wrath of God that abides upon you. The wisdom of God knew it to be a very doleful thing for a person to be in a natural state, and therefore did so exercise itself to deliver miserable sinners out of it. But this is the state that many among us do yet remain in. Secondly, consider that if you continue in the state you are in, you will be so far from being the better for this contrivance, that you will be much more miserable for it. The justice and wisdom of the way of salvation will be your condemnation. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. John 3:19. If you continue in the state that you are now in, it would have been better for you if Christ had never died for sinners. If God had left all mankind to perish, as He did the fallen angels, your punishment then would have been light in comparison of what it will be now. You will have greater sins by far to answer for. And all your sins will be abundantly the more aggravated. Since I have been upon this subject, I have observed that the work of redemption is an occasion of the elect being brought to greater happiness than man could have had if he had not fallen. And it is also true as to reprobates, that it will be an occasion of their having greater misery than they would have had if there had been no redemption. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are a savour of death unto death, and to the other we are a savour of life unto life. If you perish at last, you will be the more miserable for the benefits of the gospel being so glorious, and that because your crime in rejecting and despising them will be the more heinous. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape, if we neglect so great salvation? Thirdly, whilst you continue an unbeliever, the more you hear of this way of salvation, your condition will become the more miserable. The longer you sit under the preaching of the gospel, the more doleful does your case grow. Your guilt continually increases. For your refusals of the gospel, and your rejections of this way of salvation, are so much the oftener repeated. Every time you hear the gospel preached, you are guilty of a renewed rejection of it, the guilt of which therefore you will have lying upon you. And the more you hear of the suitableness and glory of this way, the greater is your guilt who still continue to reject it. Every new illustration of the wisdom and grace of God in redemption adds to your guilt. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. What adds to your misery is, that as long as it continues, it is a growing evil. Fourthly, consider the danger there is, that you will never have any lot or portion in this matter, seeing there are but few that have. Christ has told us that strait is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There have been but few in all ages of the world. Many seek, and many hope that they shall obtain. There are but few that intend to be damned, while many hope that they shall some way or other find means to escape eternal misery. But after all, there are but few saved, or obtain the benefits of redemption.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's EDMONTON, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle is adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying His word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.